This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9. Ben Notes is our weekly jazz program going to air each Sunday night.
I think that I can say at the moment that our special guest tonight, one of our special guests tonight, because Fem, of course, is a special guest, but our very special guest calling in on the telephone, left Australia in January 2017. They moved across to Paris to start a brand new adventure. So I think this is the time where I say, Is that France?
It is France, yes. Yes, I am here. I'm at the top of the Eiffel Tower and I'm shouting as loud as I can. Can you hear me, Australia?
We can hear you perfectly well there, France. And, of course, when I say France, I really mean to say a very warm welcome to Hetty Kate.
Hetty, I'm insisting that you have a baguette in your arm and you are wearing a beret.
I have three berets on, one in red, one in white, one in blue.
There it
I have
is.
A baguette tucked under each armpit.
Oh, that is beautiful. Now, Hetty,
yeah. I woke up like this.
All right. Now, you've been in Paris for almost 3 years now.
Oh, my God, yeah, I have. Yeah. How the hell did that happen? What happened?
How has the adventure been?
It has been one of the hardest things I've ever done. And I've done some difficult things, as we all have. But it's been one of the most, I think, beneficial and, you know, fabulous things that I've ever done. It's probably for a lot of reasons that I wouldn't have imagined in the beginning, if that makes sense at all.
I was going to ask you that.
I've discovered a lot.
I was going to ask you exactly that question, whether your relocation has worked out the way you had thought it would or whether things have been different. Is there something particular that has been very different to what you're expecting?
I think this is typical of everyone that moves to France when they're wearing their Anglo-Saxon, as the French like to call it, is that I thought, it's so embarrassing to say, I thought it would be a bit easier. I thought, and this is incredibly naive, I thought when I'm English, I grew up in England, I lived, you know, a hop, skip and a jump across the channel in England. I've been to France a couple of times. I learnt French as a second language at school growing up. The French are always there. And I just thought, it's fun. It's practically England. It's a bit cooler than England. And actually, the culture shock for anyone coming here is huge. It's a very layered, deep culture in every way, you know, just the administration alone is a complete pain in the backside. But just making friends, just how people relax on the weekend, just the general approach to life is so different. And I did go in sort of, you know, kicking and screaming a little bit. But I'm settling in now. I'm becoming more Parisian. I don't know if that's
it's an amazing thing. There's a romance of deciding to relocate somewhere. There's a romance of how life's going to be and knowing that it may not be. But then there's a downright realization of having to earn some bucks and do that, which sort of like clips your wings a little bit, in any country. And I can imagine, were you fluent in French when you went over?
No, and I'm still not. Oh, no.
See, that is extraordinary. To move to a country that is not your mother tongue and just, like, delve in there, it's amazing. I'm in awe.
Well, that's very, very kind of you. I came here, which was either extremely brave or extremely stupid, and probably both things are quite related to one another. But I do speak a little bit of French. I did learn it as the first other language that I learned, and so I can read French, and it's not that.
Did it inform a lot of your music choices, having a little bit of that language? Do you think you would have, if you had not?
No. I don't sing in French, really. I have a few songs in French that are very pretty, and I'm sort of discovering a few unusual French songs. But I'm not here to sing in French. I sing American music, and so I'm happy to sing in English. And actually, a lot of the French jazz singers here sing in English, which I think is disappointing, because hearing a French singer sing in French is one of the most beautiful things anyone can ever hear.
It is a beautiful language.
Heavenly. Yeah. Horribly difficult, but really lovely. I mean, I would never say that to a French person.
Of course.
You know.
How have you fitted into the jazz scene over there, Hedy?
You know, of course, anywhere, and Sam will attest to this, being a working jazz singer around the world as well. You know, it takes time. It takes time for people to know that you're in the city. It takes time for people to know what kind of thing you do and what you're interested in doing. But now I feel that I've, you know, made some nice, really nice friends, and there's some musicians here that I'm really enjoying collaborating with, and I feel that we're sort of moving together as a little unit, which is quite exciting. That took a long time. Because it also takes a long time to meet musicians that are sort of simpatico with yourself.
That's,
you know?
I think that's a big thing around the world. We only ever hear of famous musicians from certain countries. And when you go to a certain country and you want to get amongst the nitty-gritty jobbing musician out there, there really is no resource around to know. You just have to be introduced by someone. It's quite a frightening thing, isn't it, to not find your people in a town?
Well, yeah, and especially, you know, I've been so lucky to work with, you know, James Sherlock in recent years and Sam Laman from Melbourne, both guitarists from Melbourne in before that. And you just get that really strong family relationship and trust and communication on stage. And then to come in and go, God, everyone on stage with me is a stranger. You know, how do they approach this song? How do they approach working with a singer? You know, oh, this feels different. You know, there's all of that going on. And it can be, I don't know if it's frightening, but it can be, you know, you feel a bit lonely. That's definitely something that you deal with coming here as an expat. You're like, oh, I feel a bit lonely. But then that goes, you know.
Once it
feels like home now.
Once you've gone on stage with a group of musos and you've played through your music with them, do you suddenly have that sense of, yeah, this is right?
Not with everyone, no. Yeah. And I think any musician would say the same thing. I couldn't tell you. That is such that, and I know Sam will agree with this as well, but it's not a tangible thing. And also you can hear a musician, you can hear them on their record, you can hear them when they're playing live and watch them, you can see them interact even with other singers and think, wow, yeah, I want to work with that person. Ooh, that's exciting. And then you work with them and you go, oh, actually, I don't know if this is going to be the right fit for either of us. How strange.
I'm nodding. So I'm nodding in the studio, Hetty. I'm just sitting here nodding vigorously.
Yeah, it's weird, isn't it? Because you should be able to say, oh, Pinky McWinky on the, you know, piano. Oh, love them. Love their album with so-and-so. I want to work with them. And you get together with them and you go, oh, actually, that's not quite the right fit. It doesn't mean they're bad, and it doesn't mean you're bad. It's like a relationship. It's like any relationship, isn't it? It's like finding a friend or finding a romantic partner or anything. It's that undefinable magic, you know. And I have found a few people like that here, which is exciting now.
It must have been pretty sort of that beautiful exhale in recording this album, particularly with Ben and James.
Yeah.
You know, when you sort of get into the studio when you've been away and you have that little bit of objectivity and a different flavour. Did you notice as the 2 years of making the album changed?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think, and that's a lovely thing, because when you're in the same city with people that you love, 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 and you've worked with them so much and you know their sound and you know what each other's going to do, and then I've been away and I've been immersed in this, you know, different culture and different city and different musicians and different song choices that people make here. And then I've gone back and I've sort of changed, hopefully not for the worse. And it's exciting to re-meet those people again. Yeah, you're dead right. It was interesting. It's been an interesting album to make, actually. And it is a bit of a love song, love story, I suppose.
The production of this new album, Hedy, has taken about 2 years or thereabouts.
Even say it. I can't take it. It's taken so long. I've been chewing my own nails off. Anyway, yes, carry on.
Over those 2 years, you've produced what is an amazing album. I had a chance to have a listen to it during the week, and it's just beautiful.
Oh, thank you. That's very kind of you to say. It's because it's taken so long, it's sort of, I'm sort of in shock that it's even here, to be honest. I thought this was just going to be the rest of my life. It was going to be me trying to get this album finished. And when something's taken so long, you're too close to it. You've listened to it 8,000 million times.
There's that thing of you've moved on from it. You know, you recorded some of the stuff 2 years ago, yeah. And now you're a completely different singer and you're totally into new things and new things, and you want to do an album of new things. It's such an extraordinary process.
It is weird, isn't it? It is really weird. And for musicians, it does take us a long time, even I would imagine for super famous people with millions of budget, you know, millions of dollars budget. Does any jazz album have millions of dollars?
All of them.
Maybe three people in the world. Mm. But if you're a painter, you know, you might work on your project or your art, I don't know, 6 months a year, whatever, and create your exhibition and then put it in a gallery. There's the exhibition. People are writing about it. Boom, done. Sold some pieces. Move on to your next year. But music is this, you know, thread that takes a long time. And you're exactly right. You're in a different spot. I mean, I still love the songs, and I chose them quite carefully that they still represent parts of how I feel every day when I'm here, without the swearing and constantly crunching on the croissants. There's a lot of croissants. There's a lot of carbohydrates over here.
I'm looking at all the relative details here because I know you put so much into everything you do. You're coming here to launch it. Is that true?
Yeah, I actually arrive on Wednesday, and I'm playing a few gigs at the Paris Cap this weekend. But it was sort of, everything's been quite quick. So I'm only launching it in Melbourne this trip. And then I'm back next year. I'm doing a massive tour at the end of sort of just after the middle half of 2020, which will be New Zealand, Australia, wherever. And then I'll probably pop back earlier in the year to do a proper national tour of the album. That's the plan.
I have a Melbourne question for you. What's your first thing you do when you've got, you know, you got back? Which coffee? That's the Melbourne question, Hattie.
I knew it was coffee.
But that's only because I know you. That is very unfair to anyone listening out there in Joy 94.9 land, but only because I know things. I'll rephrase the question, Hattie. What's the first thing you do when you get back home to Melbourne?
I get a coffee. I get a soy flat white. And depending where I am, but this time I'm staying with a friend a little bit to the east of Melbourne, so I don't know what good coffee is around there. But there's good coffee everywhere there. But that's the first thing I do.
You can go exploring, Hattie. Now, the album is called Under Paris Skies. You are launching it this coming Saturday and Sunday at the Paris Cat.
I am.
Both in the early evening shows.
I think it's almost sold out. So,
well, I'm looking forward to Saturday's show, Hattie.
Thank you. I will be coming back if anyone wants to follow me on the Facebook. I will be coming back and doing it again in a few months' time.
We'll get to hear all over again and again. And, of course, it's going to get a bit of airing here on Bent Notes as well.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for all your support, not just for me, but, and again, Sam will agree, for all of us in the jazz community in Australia. We really appreciate everything you do, David, and everyone at Joy. So thank you.
Thank you very much, Hattie. Hattie, it's great to be able to talk to you across the waves here, all the way from France to Melbourne. Lovely to hear your voice again. And as I said, looking forward to the launch this coming weekend at the Paris Cat. I reckon they're going to be some fantastic shows. As I said, I've listened to the album through, and it's just so beautiful is the word I've got to give it.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very, very, very much. And I'll climb down from the top of the Eiffel Tower now and go and have another croissant.
And thank you for having a chat tonight. I hear the weather last week was absolutely atrocious.
Here in Paris?
Yes.
Foul. No, I woke up this morning and it's absolutely foul. And the amusing thing is, David, that because I'm sort of split a little bit across Australia and Paris, all of my winter clothes are in Australia.
Oh. Don't worry, you'll use them all when you get here because it's now 15 degrees.
Is it cold?
Not to worry.
they won't go astray. Well, Hattie, thank you very much for having a chat to us here on Bent Notes tonight.
Thanks.
As I said,
thank you, David. Thank you, Ben.
Our pleasure to have you online here at Fem Balling's Bent Notes.
That's right. It's very awesome that I even get to like have interviews with fellow vocalists and musicians. This is very cool. I'm loving the setup, David.
And we're going to have a listen now, Hedy, to the title track, Under Paris Skies.
Oh, thank you.
Becomes king the moment it's spring under Paris skies. Lonely hearts beat somewhere on the street of desire.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.